What's up, guys? Welcome to The Journey, and today I'm going to share with you my biggest failure in business and the consequences that I had to face for that, as well as what was learned from those consequences and the systems that I put in place to make sure that those never happen again. Okay, so I want to dive in, and we need to do that by kind of setting the stage. Okay, so this is about 3 years ago, 2017. We're still at the first location off of Little Creek Road in Norfolk. The facility was about 2,700 square feet, and we were starting to outgrow the facility at the time. So the classes were filling up, but we didn't really have the biggest parking lot, and we noticed that we were starting to bleed out into the streets. And so, you know, the neighbors weren't really complaining, but we didn't want to be an inconvenience. And so once we started to notice that the members were walking down the street to walk into the gym, we started to look for a new location. Luckily, it didn't really pan out into anything serious, but you know, you don't want to park in front of people's houses when you have a business. So we found the location, which is where we're at now. It's that 6,600 square foot facility. In that time, we switched the name from Radon to Somnium, and everything was good at the time. So if, you know, we're kind of picturing how it was back then, we're outgrowing the facility. The members are having a great time. Classes are good, and everyone's kind of a part of this growth phase. Like, everyone was a part of the move. We all knew that was happening. We had a ton of members help move from the old facility to the new one. It was about a quarter mile away. The membership was growing. We were getting, you know, a ton of people coming in, and kind of the vibe was just really good. It was very positive, and everything was really exciting. And this is really where the things were getting masked, because the overall vibe was great. You know, we were moving into a new facility, and it was just a really exciting time. But the issue is that once I got over to the new facility, you know, we were really cranking out. I've been doing challenges for about a year, and I was starting to get really good at them, up to the point where I'm selling like, you know, 10 a day, 10 a week, about 40 a month. And they were ranging anywhere from $300 to $500 at the time. And so we were definitely bringing in a lot of revenue. And this was kind of a smokescreen for me. And moving forward, so we were growing. So understand that, you know, I was getting good at the challenges and we're bringing a lot of people in. But we were also, now that the sales and marketing was good, now we had a new problem, and that was retention. And so a lot of focus of mine went into, how do we keep members here? You know, how do we convince the member to stay, you know, instead of 6 months, maybe 12 months, instead of 12 months, maybe 18 months. And I had been trying everything as far as retention. I was reading a ton of retention books, trying to improve our service, just trying to improve the entire experience. Everything was built around trying to increase the member's experience. And during that, I had the bright idea of trying to implement this three-phase system. So what that was, instead of doing like a typical monthly membership, like you would see at a typical gym, I broke it down into three phases based on the time that you're with us. So I was trying to improve our retention. And so I thought, hey, why not reward the people who stay longer? That way the focus is, you know, more purely on staying longer. And so our three-phase system was, the first phase was for the first 6 months. So when you came in, it was $49 a week. If you stayed longer than 6 months, your rate would drop to $38. And if you stayed for 12 months, then you would go to phase three, which would drop to $27 a week. Okay, so dropping from $49 to $27, I was like, man, no way people would leave. Like, this is it. This is a no-brainer. Again, this is how you make millions. This is how you succeed at business. Every idea that you have is always the best idea at the time. And so, you know, we were at the time really implementing the weekly meetings, and so started to bring it up to the team, and it was just a win-win. And overnight, we were able to switch all of the members from the current memberships and put them on to their respective phases based on the time they've been with us. So we're moving into a new facility. Everything is great. Now I just dropped people's memberships almost in half, and I'm emailing, calling, letting them all know personally that, hey, like, look, I did this. You know, you're welcome. I appreciate you staying. And just everything was good. And so vibes were good. And it was just great. But after about 6 months of that, I started to notice like a substantial amount of people were moving on to phase three. So people were staying, but now a majority of the people were moving into phase three. Up to the point to where I was noticing like a large decrease in revenue on paper. And so it was really starting to affect like our top line, like how much are we bringing in? And to add insult to injury to this, the retention really didn't decrease. Like we were still seeing the same amount of like attrition or people leaving the gym as we were before we did this. So that's when I knew I was in trouble. So at the time, again, the challenges were going great. So we're bringing in a lot of people, but our revenue's decreasing. And I tell you this because it pretty much became like a challenge for me. For each month, like I would watch the revenue, what we were projected to make, what our expenses were, and then I would kind of challenge myself to create or sell that many challenges in order to supplement our revenue and cover all of our expenses. But this was the debt trap, and because I was bringing in money, you know, $10,000-$15,000 on the front end in these challenges. And at the time, I only had two accounts. And I'll tell you, if you only have two accounts right now, you are set up for a death trap. I will expand on that further, but right now we have moved up to 12. We have 12 accounts for the bank. And the reason this was a death trap at the time is because I knew what our expenses were and I knew what our revenue was. But when that $10,000-$15,000 would come in and hit the account, you know, our expenses were increasing up to $40,000 a month at the time. And so we would have at any given time, you know, $20,000, $30,000, maybe $40,000 in the account. And looking at that, you're like, oh, we're good. So like you would grow your expenses to match that because you would think you have the money, but you don't really have the money because the money is accounted for. It's in your account, but that money will be gone in 2 or 3 weeks. And so the mistake I was making was that I was building the business, growing the business based on that top line, not really understanding the importance of the recurring revenue and the challenge revenue. So the recurring revenue, which is what you can count on, which is consistent, was decreasing. Meanwhile, I was able to supplement and grow our challenge revenue, our front-end revenue. And I was able to run this rat race for a couple months, but the reality hit in December. So at the time, in December of that 2017, we had grown the team all the way up to 8 people. So we had 8 people, 6 of which I believe were full-time. And our monthly revenue, our monthly expenses were $40,000, okay? And at that time, I had looked, it was like middle towards the end of the month. I was looking at the statements that were coming in, kind of the weekly drafts. And I noticed we were going to be off our expenses by $17,000. So on a normal month, this would have been fine. Like it would have been a new challenge for me to try to supplement this revenue. Like, come on, let's kick ass. Like, let's get all these people signed up and I'm going to do it. Like I can make $17,000, no problem. But that's on a normal month. This is December. And so, you know, everyone's traveling. The typical December is like the death month for all gyms. Any progress you make in the year, they say November, December, and January, that one quarter will delete everything that you have grown in that entire year. So moving into that, we're now in the middle of that death quarter, and the challengers stopped coming in. It's just literally the sales plummeted. And now I was faced with the reality of the fatal flaw I had made. I had made the decision to drop the monthly rate for the members in order to try to increase the retention. But in doing so, I decreased severely our recurring revenue, which is truthfully the lifeblood. All the challengers should have been bonus. The lifeblood of our business had trickled all the way down to between $17,000 and $20,000. And so we were bleeding, and we were bleeding bad. I had owed on that month $17,000 that I did not have, and I had no people showing up to, you know, help alleviate that pain. You know, this was the 2 weeks of Christmas and New Year's where people just non-existent, and it was just, that's when the reality set in. So again, we had just been implementing the team meetings that we were meeting every single week. And so at that time, I broke the news because I've been practicing trying to be more transparent and upfront. And we decided we were going to make all the major changes at once because we didn't have the money to pay to pay payroll through January. We had to cut payroll. We had to cut hours. I had to decrease the hourly rate. I had to increase the membership rates for the members. And we even tested times like decreasing the class times to allow to afford more. So dropping from 60 minutes to 45 so that we can run more classes for the same amount of payroll. And so at that time, that's like, I knew I'd effed up. I messed up bad. And like, this was now where the shit really hit the fan, because this had been going on for a couple months now, but I didn't pick it up until the end of that December when I realized all those changes had to be made at once or that was going to be sinking the ship. So as you would imagine, the team was pissed. They had every right to be. I just cut their hours. I just cut their hourly rate. And I had just, I mean, the members were pissed, and rightfully so, because now I had increased the prices back up to what they were. So some people had 100 or a 50% increase on their membership, and the classes were getting shorter. So as you can imagine, ripping that Band-Aid off really was where the storm had began. And we had a group of members at the time that were very loud and kind of outspoken. They were just that type of people, and they like to stir the pot. They like to kind of rile up any drama that they could. It was just a very unfortunate group of people. And I think everybody's experienced this, but the unfortunate part is I had this at this time. So I was more vulnerable than ever at this time, and they sensed it, and this is where the fire, they were really starting to stoke the fire. And so during those changes, like, you know, everyone's pissed off, and I'm getting rings, calls more than ever. Like, they're calling to cancel their memberships, put their memberships on hold. And I felt as I was working harder than ever. Like, this combined, like, I was putting in more hours than I had, waking up at 4:30 in the morning, literally spilling my heart out into everything that I could to try to alleviate this issue as quickly as possible so that we can get back on track and get back to some form of normalcy. And at the same time, I'm having people call me in the middle of the day, just pissed off, mad at me, canceling. And to be honest, like, it just felt like everything that I was doing wasn't good enough. I was giving my best and it wasn't good enough. I felt like I was giving all of my effort and it was just wasted on people who could care less. You know, I felt like I was giving everything that I had, but I would just get a smack in the face in return. And to be honest, like, that was really starting to wear on me, like 3, 4, 5 weeks of this. It led to 2 anxiety attacks over the span of those 2 months. And it was just a very bad time mentally. And it was definitely wearing on me physically. And come February, even though we had made the changes, it still wasn't enough. We had run out of money, and the icing on the cake was that now I was trying to be proactive on my taxes, you know, do my due diligence, put them in January. But when they came back, I had gotten a new tax lady this year. And she found that for the entire 3 years, for all 3 years that I was at H&R Block thinking I was, you know, doing right, they had not caught the fact that I hadn't filed my state payroll taxes. So guess what that amount was? It was $10,000. In back taxes. They had added on the interest and the penalties, and it was due immediately. So now, not only was like the gym bleeding money, like, this has only been a span of a month, and we have already bled $15,000 to $17,000 in expenses. So pretty much all the accounts were right at zero. Now I've got all these back taxes due, they're due immediately, and they had the power to come in and put a lien on all of my accounts. So guess what they did? They came in, and early one morning, and it was about mid-February, I logged in to kind of check to see where we were at, and both of the accounts had been locked. They had put a lien on, and I couldn't access not a penny of my money. So every penny that I had saved to my name, I had to put back into the business to pay off the debt and free up the accounts. So that week, literally everything that I had saved up over these last 3 years had now just gone back in to pay that one mistake that we had made as far as missing the payroll taxes that I wasn't aware of, which obviously is my fault now. But you would hope that when you go to file your taxes with a tax professional, those are one of the major things that they would, you know, check the boxes for you. Like, oh, did you pay your payroll taxes? Yes. Great. That didn't come up in the 3 years that I was there. And so that sucked. So anyway, so now we're back to the accounts. I looked on there and both had been overdrafted. So we had two bank, the business checking and the business savings were overdrafted in the negative. They both had liens put on them. And in order to unbankrupt the business, I had to essentially bankrupt myself to where I had $0 in my account just to get those things or just to dig out of that hole. So to be honest, like, that shit was tough. That whole week, it was very, very rough, and I'm not going to sugarcoat that, because there were days where I wanted to just pretty much throw up my hands, walk away, wish it would all disappear. But the worst part is that this was something that I had created myself, and so I couldn't walk away, and there was just no way to escape it. I had to honestly face it and get through it. So meanwhile, I'm in the gym, and all this stuff is happening at home. And then when I go to the gym, I got to put a smile on and pretend like everything is all right, because no one wants to deal with that after a long day. Like, they come to unwind. You want to come get a good sweat with your friends and not carry the burdens of an owner who screwed up and could cost them their safe place. Like, people come in to kind of unwind and have somebody to talk to and get rid of that stress. Like, the last thing you want to do is give somebody more stress on top of what their day was. It's kind of the opposite. And so I was just trying to put on that front. And at the same time, the accounts were cleared out and the government pretty much locked down all that. I had members actively messaging me or actively messaging each other in a group text, trying to convince each other to leave. Okay, so there was a few ringleaders here that really tried to stoke the fires and unfortunately succeeded in a lot of cases. We did have about 20 people leave during this time, and some didn't leave calmly. I had one girl ask to speak to me in my office. Obviously, I obliged, but I didn't realize that I was about to walk into pretty much just a firing squad. So we walked into the office. I knew what was coming. Obviously, nobody wants to talk unless it's something bad. It's never to ask about how things are going. So I walked into the office and she just was telling me that she wanted to cancel. So I was like, totally fine. She had paid up front. And so I offered to just reimburse her the money that was left on the membership for her and her husband. I wrote the check and I gave it to her. But after I gave it to her, she decided to really give me a piece of her mind. So now that she got what she wanted to put the icing on the cake. So her voice started to rise. She started to yell. She was like, who do you think you are? Like, we didn't ask for these changes. You don't know what we want. Like, what do you think? You're God? This is bullshit. You're a disappointment. And just really started to layer it on. Like, it got really aggressive really quickly. And it became extremely personal because it was no longer about the business. Like, she was attacking me. And to be honest, like, I didn't really know what to do in that situation. I knew I couldn't retaliate because that's not who I am in the first place. And all it would do was just create more turmoil. And to be honest, the fact of the matter that we were even having that conversation was that these were all issues that stemmed from something that I did wrong. And so, you know, it would just turn into even a bigger firestorm if I had done anything. So I sat there, I wrote her $600 check and let her walk out. And it's just, again, like, just picturing how this was at home. Like, I'm waking up at 4:30 in the morning, busting my ass, trying to figure out how to fix this. I've got the IRS cleared out my accounts, locked them down. I've got no money to my name. And then I go to the gym, the place that I'm trying to save, and I have people accusing me of thinking I'm God, and like I'm a disappointment. And it's just, it was extremely rough, to say the least. Okay. And during that time, I tried to spend some time speaking with some of my most loyal members, get advice, kind of see where their opinions were. So they were upset, but they understood. They said that I moved too fast and it caused whiplash for the members. And this was new to me because my pace has always been pretty fast, but I didn't see the repercussions of that when people were coming here to slow down. So again, I understood that people were coming to kind of unwind, get a good sweat, and kind of chill. But it was hard to adjust. It was hard to keep up with everything when I'm putting out new stuff every single week, thinking that like new, I'm going to put out something new to increase the experience or improve the experience. But unfortunately, it was actually the opposite. Like a lot of people were getting just stressed out, not being able to keep up with everything. And so that's really where I started to kind of take a step back. I got out of the light and I let the team run the show. So I completely pulled out and just really forced myself to slow down, let the dust settle, and try to rebuild after everyone caught their breath. So our price increases and the relentless expense cutting finally got us back into the black. So we started to kind of not lose money every month, and we were able to crawl our way out of the hole that I had created over the rest of that year. But those scars were extremely deep. And to this day, I have members ask me how long I have been going to the gym. Like literally, I'll go in and I'm working out and people will come up and like, I'm starting a conversation. Hey, how you doing? What's your name? And they're like, oh, how long have you been going here? Or, oh, like, oh, do you coach here? Or stuff like that, like literally not knowing that I own the gym. And that stuff has been extremely tough. That's been one of the uphill battles that I've been facing the last year or two, just being so pulled back. And I just have no desire to kind of be the face, but instead I move out of the way and let the team kind of grow. And I give them a platform to grow as well. So my main goal now is to continue building a business that will allow for my team to live the life that they dream. And in turn, I know that they'll be able to provide the environment and service to allow our members to do the same. So never again will I make those financial mistakes. And our two accounts have now grown into 12. Like I said, we track our numbers every single week as a team, from lead generated all the way to how much money did we pay in taxes this week. So the systems that have come from that have become pretty much bulletproof. And that all stemmed from that 2 to 3 months of just getting beat down into the dirt. And I'm very confident that we'll never have to experience it again, because once you go through that and you learn how to bounce out of it, like, you will at all costs never make that mistake again. And so essentially, to sum that up, the mistake I had made, that in the light of everything going great, I had severely misjudged the importance of recurring revenue, because the recurring revenue is the lifeblood. And I had a fake vanity number because my account looked good, because we were making all this money on the front end. But as soon as that faucet stopped, the reality hit that our expenses were way over, almost $17,000 over what we were bringing in on a monthly basis. And that led to job losses. It led to payroll drops per team member. It led to higher membership rates. It led to just absolute chaos on the back end because of that simple mistake that when I was trying to increase our retention, I dropped the prices. And never again will I drop our prices. And I know that sounds aggressive, but if you need a healthy business, then you have to charge an adequate amount to run the business. And the two accounts were the main cause of that, because you would look at one account and if it looked fluffy and it looked good, then you would grow the business to match that. And now I realize that that was false, because that money is already accounted for. It's not really your money. So now we have 12 accounts, and I'll explain exactly how we use those in a future episode. That is the gist of, honestly, the worst mistake I'd ever made. And the toughest time of my life was trying to dig out of that hole. But all right, I hope y'all have an awesome day. I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to my journey, and I will see y'all soon.